Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 35 degrees and overcast. Today is Wednesday, February 1st, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The archives of Sheldon Jackson College are now in the hands of the state. When the college closed in 2007, the Board of Trustees worked to pay down its debt and divest itself of the campus. But lately, the board's work has centered on preserving the historic school's legacy. Under a deal signed yesterday, the state's Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums will take control of thousands of pieces of material once belonging to Sheldon Jackson College, everything from historic documents to a mammoth tusk presented to the college as a gift. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on the archives and their future.
Stratton Library is nearly empty. Discolored rectangles of carpet sit where the bookshelves used to. There's a musty smell, like the doors haven't been opened in a while. But up on the second floor, tucked away in a back room and covered under plastic, are treasures from a century of Alaska history.
So there's a file cabinet over here that has student records that go back to the first high school students, 1917, 18, 19, and 20.
John Holst works for the Board of Trustees of Sheldon Jackson College. The items in this room go far beyond student records and range from the clearly historical, like the desk used by Sheldon Jackson himself, to the completely unexpected.
Mammoth tusk from the Kotzebue Sound area presented to Sheldon Jackson College.
And there's no date on it.
There are portraits of school luminaries and tributes to school sports stars, like a plaque that Holst finds listing off the school's Basketball Hall of Fame.
Where's Walters?
Walters right here.
Yeah, Walter Soboloff, who...
Cyril George, is that
who just... This was 19... He was in high school in 1928.
Soboloff became a respected Tlingit elder and spiritual leader before his death last year at age 102.
I mean, this room is just filled with things like this that are... I mean, looking at report cards of kids from... you know, who lived in the 1917, 18, 1920. It's just, it's just fascinating stuff.
The room is so full that a rough inventory completed this past summer takes up 220 pages. And that's just what's here. Within 6 months of the college closing back in 2007, many of its records were sent to Juneau for safekeeping. They and the pieces that remain on campus will eventually all be housed in Sitka. Bob Bangert is chief curator of the state museums. He says the list of what's in the room is exhaustive, but state archivists will still have to take a look at the items to get more specific information and figure out how each fits into the history of the college.
To be honest, when you start delving into it, maybe 10% actually has focus, and then there's 90% that's like, I'm not sure, but this is important, and you feel it.
Bangert and Holst both say that Sitka residents have been involved in the process throughout. At a public meeting last year, some 40 people weighed in on what to do with the archives. From that group came a committee of five, called the Sheldon Jackson Legacy Committee. Holst says they unanimously endorsed turning the archives over to the state. The acquisition of the archives is another step forward in linking Stratton Library to the neighboring Sheldon Jackson Museum. The state purchased Stratton in 2010 for about $2 million. Bangert says the second floor of the library will be turned into a storage vault for the materials to make sure that they're preserved. He projects at least 5 years before that project is complete. The building, he says, needs some work.
It's a building built in 1974. There is no insulation in the walls. It's single glazed window structure. When we did have the heat on, I'm looking at the oil bill going, I can't sustain.
The state will pay for architects and engineers to come up with a way to improve Stratton and make it sustainable. Bangert says Stratton itself will eventually become an expanded collection space for the neighboring Sheldon Jackson Museum, which will also encompass the archival material. And he says having Stratton Library as part of the state's museum system will allow museum officials to experiment on a small scale here with ideas that maybe can be used across the entire system. He says it's possible that the combined SJ Museum and Stratton Library could even host a curator training program of some sort. Holst says that notion, that this could be more than just an archive, is what appealed to the trustees.
They saw this as economic development, basically. Bringing programs here to Sitka that don't currently exist anywhere else, and those are things that are very, very, very good for this community and for this building and the campus.
As for the archives themselves, Holst says there are some items that will be preserved but not made public right away. For example, some minutes of Board of Trustees meetings from the last 5 years. Other items, like personnel files and employment papers bearing Social Security numbers, have been destroyed, in keeping with standard practice most employers use. State archivists will have a lot of material to sift through and a long history to learn. Bangert says there will be discoveries along the way, including some that might even be personal.
I taught here in 75, I guess, that summer. I taught at the Fine Arts Camp, and I was kind of looking at some of the stuff from that period, saying, yeah, I bet I'm in some of these pictures here. See what happens. But so, yeah, that's the best part of this business is what's not apparent until you really start digging in.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
More than 60% of signatures collected by the group behind a citizens' initiative to revive the Alaska Coastal Management Program have been verified by an initial computer review. Casey Kelly has more.
The Alaska Sea Party submitted more than 33,000 signatures to the State Division of Elections 2 weeks ago in hopes of qualifying the measure for this year's statewide ballot. Division Director Gail Finumiai says computer scanners verified more than 20,000 of those as being from qualified registered voters, leaving more than 12,000 to be verified manually.
It's not uncommon to have a high number of unqualified after the initial computer qualification phase. And what we do with those then is we go back through and we do a manual search for that person in our voter registration system to see if they really are a true qualified voter in the state of Alaska.
Finumiai says a signature may not meet the computer qualification for any number of reasons.
Say they signed the book as Jim Smith, and they're really James Smith in the voter registration system. The VR system would not match that because it wasn't an exact name match. It could be somebody signed and put their driver's license down as an identifier, but we don't have their driver's license in our VR system. So we're able to get that information through other means and provide a match and say, yes, this person is a qualified voter.
Finumiai says manual verification of signatures for the Coastal Management Initiative started last Friday. She estimates it will take another 3 to 4 weeks to complete the process. The news that many of the signatures did not pass the initial computer scan led to lots of unnecessary angst amongst lawmakers Tuesday. Senate President Gary Stevens said at a press conference that initiative backers may not have the numbers. But House Minority Leader Beth Kurtula, who's been involved with the Alaska Sea Party's efforts, says the group sees no reason to panic.
We are confident that in those names we'll see yet again many more qualified voters. It's as simple as that.
Lawmakers can bypass the Citizens Initiative by approving substantially similar legislation this session. The House and Senate Judiciary Committees are scheduled to hold a joint hearing on the issue next Monday, February 6th. Until it closed last year, the Alaska Coastal Management Program allowed the state to put conditions on certain development in federal land and waters. It interacted with and received most of its funding through the Federal Coastal Zone Management Act. The program folded after legislators and the Parnell administration failed to reach an agreement to reauthorize it. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
This year's Celebration Native Cultural event will have an added focus on art. Celebration 2012 is set for June 7th through the 9th at Juneau Centennial Hall. It's organized by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, the cultural arm of the regional Native Corporation of the same name. This year's theme is Strengthen Yourself. The event will include dozens of dance groups, most from Southeast Alaska, plus traditional food contests and lectures. Institute President Rosita Worrell says organizers have been looking for new ways to promote traditional and contemporary Alaska Native art.
We are going to have a Native artist gathering on Wednesday, opening up Celebration, and at the close of the day, we'll have the juried art show.
Celebration always includes an artist market. Worrell says this year it will have a new outdoor venue to allow more displays.
We're planning to have it, you know, right here on our parking lot, and we own the lot right across the street where we're going to be building our Sea Alaska Heritage Center, so we're going to be seeing if we could have dancing there, and it'll become more visible, you know, right in the center of town.
More information is on the Institute's website. That includes applications for dance groups, which are due by March 2nd. You can find links to that page as well as reports on past events through this story on our website, kcaw.org. Thousands of Horizon and Alaska Airlines workers will receive hefty bonuses in their paychecks this month. The Seattle-based airline group on Thursday announced a second straight year of record annual profits. Chief Financial Officer Brandon Peterson says his company's planes are flying fuller than ever. It's also been able to offset high fuel costs with higher fares.
We're able to share generously with employees when the company is doing well, without embedding fixed compensation into our cost structure that becomes a burden in times that our financial results are not as strong.
Peterson says Alaska Air will pay bonuses equal to about 6.5% of pay to most staff. Separately, the airline's management estimated the cost of last month's crippling snow and ice storm at $3.5 million. Most of that is lost revenue due to hundreds of flight cancellations. The airline group says all 12,782 employees qualified for bonuses. A bill from State Senator Donnie Olson of Nome would help preserve and revitalize the 20 native languages of Alaska. Olson recommends in SB 130 that the state create the Alaska Native Language Preservation Council, which would advise the governor on programs and projects that will make the most of resources available to native groups. The bill was before the State Affairs Committee yesterday. Representatives from native groups and linguists voiced their support and called for lawmakers to do what they can before time runs out. So in weather forecast today for Sitka and PA, calls for windy conditions, slight chance of rain showers this morning, then rain likely this afternoon, highs around 41. South winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, increasing to southeast 25 to 35 later today. This is KCAW, Sitka.